Welcome, everybody. It is Elaine Taylor-Klaus with the Thursday afternoon Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS group. It is Thursday, June 22nd, 2017. And this week we are talking about play and humor and creativity and sort of using those that strategy, those skills to really be able to improve communication and connect in a different way. So let's start with check-ins and celebrations, and then we'll take aim and get into the content, because Diane was out of town this week, so I've done a lot of sessions on this week, and we've had some really great phone conversations. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation. But let's start with check-ins. Who wants to start us off?
This is Stan. I'll mention that I just taped squash with Martin, and that was a lot of fun. And afterwards,
you just did what? I'm sorry.
We played squash.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, and then afterwards he tried out doing some chin-ups, and he did 4 chin-ups, and he was very delighted with that progress he's making. So
oh, I love it.
Really it really ties into the theme of play.
Awesome. Cool. So you're celebrating that it sounds like you're playing with your kid. Yes? Who else? Jane, what about you?
Oh, I couldn't come up with something interesting to celebrate. I guess to celebrate that we're getting ready to go on a big backpacking hiking trip that I found for Joshua, since that's his main strength and interest. I'm actually not going to do the hiking, but he's going up into the called Teen Wilderness Survival, and it's right up his alley.
Brilliant.
And it's in New Hampshire, and we're going to leave Saturday, and it's like they're going to climb up for age 16 to 18, so it'll be kids right his age group, and climb up to the highest peaks and learn how to cook and have teamwork and backpack in the wilderness. So I'm pleased and can celebrate that I found that, and he's excited about going, because he's a kid who doesn't excel in school in any sport or in anything else at all. So school was not his thing where he shined, but in this, at least he can do something he loves.
Well, it's a brilliant, I love, there's so many things to celebrate there. So because it's you know, playing to his strengths, and it's, you know, taking advantage of the summer and really cultivating and using the summer, which I'm a huge fan of. And I will tell you, my welcome back, Stan. I know you got dropped off, but welcome back.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
My daughter is working at Camp Soar this summer, my middle kid. And one of the things she said was that she was a little bit out of sorts, because half the people who are working there because they're, you know, going into special ed or, you know, some variety of working with special needs kids. And the other half of the people working there are doing it because they are getting their degrees in outdoor education. And so there really is a career and a future for him to, if he chooses to pursue it in this realm. I mean, this really is a career path.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I forgot about that. And that we talk about career paths, and then I said, oh, and then he was all excited because something that I saw that through one of the groups that's outdoors for young kids. Do you remember the name of that one? That's Outward Bound or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Outward Bound or Knowles or one of those, yeah.
One of those, yeah. They have careers. So thank you for reminding me. That is a
thing
that
he said. There really is. It's not just something he's interested in. It's something he's interested in that's got legs, if you will, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just want to remind you of that. Not that he should have to pursue this as a career, but for him to know that there are lots of careers
options
that people go into because they love hiking in the outdoors. Like I have a godson who's in Alaska, and he's gone back to school and university in Alaska because he wants to do sort of forest preservation stuff. But he had struggled with school and left school for several years, and I mean, it took him a while to figure it out, and he ended up, you know, going back to school in Alaska. So,
wow.
You know, you never know.
I didn't.
Okay, Carol, what about
one of your kids or somebody you know?
That was my godson. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Carol, what about you? What are you celebrating this week?
The only thing, this has been a rough month. The only thing that I can celebrate is that I took Buster to a camp. And, of course, I had to pick him up. First day of camp, I had to pick him up. But I didn't get mad at him.
Awesome.
So,
good for you. That is it's a hard place to be. Was it a sleepaway camp or a day camp?
Day camp.
Okay. Okay. So I also want to celebrate that you're here, because I know when it's hard and there's a lot going on, sometimes it's hard to make this a priority to take this and use this space. So just really want to acknowledge you for that.
Thanks. I just keep missing the other group. I don't know why. So
it
I wanted
happens.
To get something.
I'm glad you're here. Welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a minute to take aim, everybody, and then we'll get into today's topic. Who wants to? Anybody got something you know you want to take aim on this week?
I'm trying to take aim on the same thing when I started the program. This is Jane, about sleep. Joshua has had sleep issues since he was a little guy, and they're continuing into now, and I think in driving my car that I would talk about taking aim on that, although it's, I don't know, I think I've been in the program maybe 9 months now or so, and he was up last night, the entire night, he told me, he had 1 hour, he said, he thought of sleep, so his body and circadian rhythm, everything I think is just totally so messed up. Even when we try to do things. So I thought, well, I'm supposed to, instead of come up with all these solutions, which I go to doctors, I read, I guess I should
right.
be asking
have that
and
tendency.
Get curious.
Right. Good for you.
Okay. I wonder why. It could be that video game is on for so many hours, but, you know, that is a solution to stop that. And so last night he told me, I'll get off at 10. Well, 10 rolled around, and he said, nope, not getting off, and maybe 10:30. My husband said he went to bed at 2:15. He was still up talking to somebody, and the screen was up.
Yeah.
So it's like, I said, Joshua, we'll have a consequence.
Well, I hate to admit that is fairly typical teenage summer behavior, with or without sleep issues, you know. So, I mean, sometimes we just have to remember they are – most of the people on this call, we do have teenagers, and teenagers are going to, you know, they're not going to make good choices all the time. And part of it is, you know, is it better than it was a year ago or 2 years ago or 6 months ago? You know, like, are we looking for the progress? And it's totally reasonable for you to have taken aim on it months ago and to take aim on it again. And the solutions may be different now, right? Or the awareness may be different because you've done a lot of work in the last 9 months.
Yeah.
So let's see where it takes us. I see somebody else has joined us, so just check in with me real quick. Who else is here? Is it Laura?
Hi.
Lori? Who is it?
Lori from Chicago. Yep.
Hey,
and it's
Lori.
Funny,
how are you?
I just a second joined, and my daughter is also on her iPhone watching movies all the time, and I gave her a Fitbit for graduation. She graduated going into high school, and you know, it monitors her sleep, so I can see exactly when she goes to bed. So it's been kind of a cool tool because she's still getting like 7 hours of sleep, and we talked about that it's summer, and you know that's okay now, but when school starts, you know, so the Fitbit, it's really kind of a cool parental tool.
Yeah. Wow. I never thought of it that way. That's great.
Ooh.
Okay, so, well, Lori, is it Laura or Lori?
Lori. It's Laura,
okay.
Legally, but I go by Lori.
That's why, because so you're on the phone register, it says Laura, and that's why I was a little confused. Okay, so while you're here, you want to do a quick celebration and take aim with us?
Celebration is pretty easy. We're doing, my daughter is going to be an incoming freshman, and she's taking a writing class for summer school and really is enjoying it and doing well, and she only has a couple more days of it. So far, summer has been pretty good. Take
awesome.
Aim. I don't really know right now. Perhaps it's maybe figuring out a way of maybe having her help around the house a little. I tend to get nothing, so I don't know. We've tried rewards and other things, and I don't know.
Sometimes I ask, what's the change you want to see? So the change you want to see is for her to be. To have some in investment or involvement in the house over the summer.
Right.
Okay. Big issue for the summer, especially for teens.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm just writing a tip about that for next week, I think. So. Okay, who else? Carol, what about you? What do you want to take aim on this week?
Wow. Probably something, you know, it's not too difficult, is helping Buster play with Baby without taking all his toys and hoarding them.
Play with the baby without taking the toys?
Yeah. He takes all the baby toys.
And how old is Buster?
5.
Ah, okay.
He's been doing that since he's been 2.
Right. Well, you know, and that's – and 5, developmentally, where would you say? Is 5 going on what?
3.
Yeah. So it is sort of developmentally appropriate for him to still be having a hard time not taking toys.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that in the realm of sort of looking at reasonable expectations, and maybe the question is not to get him to stop, but to figure out how to help him, you know, how to help him learn to share. Or how to help me, like, I see that you want to improve that situation, but I want you to set an expectation that's realistic for everyone so you'll feel successful. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's really hard because he likes to get into Baby's playpen. I can't even be in there with him. He is moving all over the place, one side to this side, to up and down, to kick and to throw in his hands. He's up, he's down. It's nerve-wracking.
Buster's the one doing this?
Yeah.
So do you want him to not be getting in the playpen, or do you want him? You want to focus on not taking the toys?
Good question. I've tried not.
Just
not
which of those is where you want to take
playpen.
A? Not.
Yeah,
but, hang on just a second. Which one of those is the change you most want to see?
I think it'd be better if we work on the sharing.
Okay. So sharing toys with the baby, playing with and sharing toys with the baby.
Yeah.
Okay. And for those of you with teenagers, I got it right. It's been a long time since some of us on this call have talked about that, so it's got to be refreshing. Stan, what about you? What do you want to take aim on this week? Are you able? I can't tell if you're here or not. I think you're not muted. So.
Yeah, I am here, and I stopped in the store. I think for taking aim, it's the objective of keeping Martin active during the summer, and a couple of his teachers told me at the end of the year to do this, that they know that he can be a couch potato if we let him, so the goal is for me to...
I'd like you to sauce the email, sir.
It's a little hard to hear you, Stan.
Okay, let me step out.
It's a little hard to make out what you're saying.
Okay, I'm going to step out. Hold on 1 second.
That'd be great. Thanks. And somebody else, while you're stepping out, somebody has just joined
okay,
us. Who's
I'm
here?
Outside.
Yes, it's Lisa.
Lisa, welcome.
Okay.
So Stan,
hi,
go ahead. You were taking
sorry.
Aim.
Sorry about that. What I said is
that's
that...
Okay.
He can be a real couch potato during the summer.
So what's the change you want to see? Try to bottom line it to the change you're looking for.
Is that I would like to incite more activity during the summer, whether it's him or me doing things with him, or something that keeps him physically active and not just like lying in his bed, texting on his phone or playing the games on his phone. And I kind of view that as my role as the dad to kind of help make that happen. And I'm just hoping that I can think of enough things, like, you know, inviting some of his friends to do things with him.
Stan, before we get to solution, let's just focus for a second on taking aim. How old is he?
Okay. 15.
So the change you want to see is you want him to be more active this summer.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
And then, Lisa, I'm going to skip over celebrations if you don't mind, but if you want to take aim real quick, we can do that. Is that all right?
Sure.
What do you want to take aim on?
Continued helping him to have continued ownership of understanding his learning weaknesses, and then willingness to learn the strategies to change.
Okay, so that's two different things. So be more specific on what's one specific change you want to see.
Okay. To be willing to learn more about himself as a student and his weaknesses.
Okay, I'm going to encourage you to begin by not using the word weaknesses, because that's going to turn him off.
Okay.
Talk about him in terms of challenges.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the change you want to see is you want him to become better informed about his challenges.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing is that you want him to be willing to learn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Willing to be better informed about his challenges. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move into the topic of today, and then we'll see what kind of conversation comes up from it. As I mentioned earlier, I've done a number of calls this week, and have really had some great conversations about this topic. And you know, you can imagine we put humor in play at this time of year, because most of us, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, most of us are on a school break, or at least coming up on school break, and so. There's a lot of opportunity for us as parents to, when the stress is off and the school is out, to really begin to use play and humor as a way to connect with our kids, to motivate them, to inspire them. We include it because, if you remember, there are five motivators for the brain when the brain is challenged with executive function. We do not have, any of us, have kids who are motivated by checking something off a list. Right, we have to help them find motivation to do the things that are hard to do, and even to do the things that they want to do. That's not always an easy thing. The hallmark, I often say, of ADHD is that I can't get myself to do what I want to do. That's how we know it's likely to be ADHD. And so, and executive function challenges sort of fall in that realm. And so motivation is key to getting ourselves to do what we want to do. And we start with external motivations like reward systems and star charts. And the idea is to begin to move it to more internal kinds of motivations. You know, being interested in a subject in school can motivate a child to participate and engage differently. I'm really excited that my 16-year-old is starting his junior year of high school next year, because he's finally taking some classes that he's really interested in. And I know it's going to be different for him. He's going to have to work harder, but he's actually going to care more because he finds it interesting. And so, so interest is one of the motivators. And one of the motivators for our kids and our brains is this issue that we call play or humor. Sometimes it shows up as creativity, but it's you know, the thing that inspires us, that that draws us because it makes us feel good. And for some people, that may be play, or that may be humor, or some people, that may be creative expression or being an artist. You know, for your son, Jane, it may be being out in the woods and walking and hiking. Whatever yeah. that is, right, it's going to be different for all of us. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit. But connecting with that thing that we relate to is a really great way to help kids find their motivation and to motivate them to do things for themselves or for us, right? So that's why we talk about it in terms of humor and play and sort of adding creativity to that, because it's whatever it is that makes things fun. This is what we consider fun, right? And Lisa, I just want you to know there was a lot of background noise, so I muted you.
Okay.
And you're welcome to mute yourself, but there was just a lot of sound. So I've unmuted you, but if you want to mute yourself, that would be helpful. It's quiet now, so if it's a problem again, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I know there's definitely some sort of wind or something. So if there's a way to mute, that would be great. Okay, so back to humor and play. So humor and play is a phenomenal motivator for the brain, right? It's this amazing way to help our kids find the motivation to do anything. And the other thing about it is that, you know, we as parents often have a tendency to take things a little seriously. Particularly when we have teenagers, but I think it's the case all the way along. There's that, like, I got to get it done. It's important. It needs to happen. I'm the one who focuses on the details. Everybody else gets to play, and I've got to be the one to make sure it gets done. And sometimes we get so seriously that we forget to lighten up. In fact, one of the calls this week, earlier in the week, another call of teens, everyone on the call took aim on lightening up, you know, because we as parents have this tendency to be so serious. And part of that is because we're trying to get it done. And part of that is that sometimes we just don't see things, we don't play in the same way that our kids or our spouses do. What we're going to talk about in a minute is how the different styles of play influence us and our behaviors, right? So using play and humor and creativity is a great way to motivate our kids and to help them know themselves and learn to motivate themselves. And then there's this other piece that's about not taking ourselves too seriously, lightening up and not taking things too seriously, using humor in a situation instead of really being serious about it. This week's guest expert article is actually an interview with Dr. Kirsten Milliken, who's a good buddy of mine in this realm over the years. And she and I did a webinar several years ago on play that I'm going to talk about again in a minute. But this week's interview with her, it's a 20-minute interview, and it's about the topic is, are consequences counterproductive for ADHD? You may have seen it in the newsletter. But what she talks about is that it's not about the consequence. It's really more about how we communicate the consequence. That if it's clearly communicated, if they know it's coming, if we communicate it playfully, it can be really effective. If we communicate it with judgment, it sets off something in their brain that triggers them, that sets off a release or doesn't set off the release of dopamine, and it's actually got a different chemical reaction in the brain. And so part of the reason that play or fun or humor or creativity is so important is because it actually stimulates the pleasure hormones in the brain, and that helps us activate and helps the executive function of the frontal lobe engage. So there is a chemical reason why we will do better to tickle our 9-year-old kid awake than we will to stand there with our hands on our hips at the door and say, it's time for you to get up, right? One's going to have a trigger, a negative reaction that's going to make it harder for him to get up, and one could trigger a positive reaction that's going to help him feel activated. So, and so I really encourage you all to listen to that interview at some point, because it's only about 20 minutes, and it's a really good conversation. And, of course, it's playful because it's Kirsten and me. But it's a different way to understand this whole issue of play. Okay, so I want to make sure I've hit my highlights before I stop. The other thing I want to say is that a lot of our kids have a really good sense of humor. And what I find in this community is that we usually have one of two kinds of kids. We either have a kid who is, like I hear this from parents all the time, my kid is wicked smart, wicked funny, right? We have, I have two of my kids have a really, really good sense of humor. And so humor and play is a great way to encourage them and motivate them and activate them and connect with them. It's a great way that they're able to learn. It's a great vehicle for them to express themselves it's okay to be funny when you're talking about schoolwork or things in science or whatever, if that's the access point that keeps it interesting for them. Then there's this other kind of kid that we have a lot of in our community too, and that's the kid who has a very black and white thinking, linear kind of approach. Often kids with language processing issues, like my daughter has dyslexia. These are kids who actually have a hard time with humor, who often don't get the joke. They may not be processing the language clearly. They may not get the tone. They may not know when people are joking or teasing with them. Those are the kids that actually have a hard time. They tend to like really silly humor because it's very obvious that it's supposed to be funny, but they may have a harder time with somewhat more sophisticated humor or more language-based humor. And so sometimes we as parents have a hard time connecting with what our kids think is funny. And so understanding what's funny to them and getting curious about what's funny to them and why can be a really good place to access and connect with them. And sort of tying into that, there is something about them using humor and feeling comfortable with humor and ultimately learning to laugh with others and laugh at themselves. So the other thing I think is valuable about this is that ability to learn to laugh at yourself, which I think is one of the most valuable things that we can teach our kids, because when you've learned to laugh at yourself, that means you've learned to be okay with mistakes, you're learning to fail forward, you're learning to sort of have compassion for yourself for being human, you're letting go of perfectionism, you're not taking things too seriously, because we're all going to make mistakes. And it's actually a really valuable life skill for people to be able to do. I was telling somebody the other day that I have a 16-year-old kid who one of his superpowers now is his ability to laugh at himself. But when he was 9 and 10 and 11, he did not yet have that skill. And it was really, really hard because he took things personally and he threw tantrums and he was always upset. And it took us a really long time to teach him to make it okay for him to be able to make mistakes. And now if I say, you know, I'll walk in and say, so did that trash get out tonight? And he'll look at me and instead of saying, no, you didn't remind me, or, you know, like he might have in the old days, he'll say, no, it didn't, and I'm taking care of it right now, Mom, really playfully, and he'll get up and do it, and there's no tension, right? But it wasn't always like that. That had to be cultivated. So using play and humor allows us to cultivate that in our kids so that they can learn to laugh with themselves. So I hit a lot of things. The other thing I want to talk about in this topic is that there's, and I posted it on the forum, and I encourage everybody to check it out, that the webinar that Kirsten and I did a few years ago is about play and the styles of play. And there's a book called Play. It's also on that link. It's called Play, How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and Invigorates the Soul. And there's a place called the Institute for Play, and they've done a lot of research on play. And they identified 9 different play styles. And we all have different play styles that we prefer. And so what the book talks about and what we talk about, we cover in that webinar, and you guys all have access to the webinar, is the 9 different play styles. And when you begin to recognize what your play styles are and what your kids' play styles are, it gives you another way to help them find, again, the motivation to get activated, to get things done. When you realize that, you know, some people are directors and some people are jokers and some people are physical, they're kinesthetes, and some people are collectors. That's actually a style of play. Some people are competitors. So when you begin to know, and most people have sort of a dominant 3 maybe three favorite styles of play, maybe four of the nine. And those play types can really give you a great way to look at how to connect with your kid, how to motivate them, and how to help them see themselves. I know I did a workshop on this many, many years ago, and that's what sort of got me started in this work on play. Because when I discovered that, because I used to have a hard time when my kids were little, and I found nothing more dull than to sit in the playroom and play with them. It wasn't play to me. And so I had to find creative ways to connect with them. So, like, I'm a creative type. So one of the things I did was I created something called a junk box. And I would keep it in the playroom. And it was just, you know, loose ends, odds and ends of cardboard and spiral ringers and, you know, any little pieces of styrofoam stuff that was sort of left over from places and things. And we would keep it in the junk box. And then we would use it to make things and create things. And it was amazing what my kids would create from the junk box. And I could play with the junk box for a long time because that was interesting to me. But just sitting there playing with characters and making up stories, that was not my thing. Right. So finding the way to connect with them, the play styles can really help you with that. So that's a lot. On that note, I'm going to stop and ask for what's coming up for you. What are you thinking about? What resonated with you? What are you noticing about this whole notion of using humor and play?
Well, this is Lisa.
This play style thing, I think it's really interesting. Is it usable for teenagers, though?
Yeah, absolutely. Get the book. I mean, because they'll be amazed to find their own play styles. Because everybody's got a play style. And when you notice, anybody know where that music's coming from?
I don't know. It's pretty.
Pretty.
No.
Okay, this is really weird.
Yeah. It sounds like a Bach guitar, something or other.
Nobody is playing music in the background?
Nope.
Definitely not. Oh, boy.
Okay, this one's got me. I have no idea what to do.
Oh, and it stopped.
It just stopped.
That was so lovely, wasn't it?
It's play. And it's funny.
It was playful.
All right, so I could choose to be really annoyed by that, right? Or I could laugh and sort of look for the humor and the silver lining and the beautiful musical interlude, and that's my choice. It's a perfect example of using humor in play and sort of rolling with it and moving on. All right, so Lisa, I know you wanted to say something, but somebody else was speaking first. Let her go, and then Lisa, you.
Yeah.
So who was talking? Was it Carol?
It wasn't me.
I don't know who was speaking before the music started.
This is Lori. I just said I was asked about the. I mean, I could see the play styles of a box full of styrofoam stuff for a 7-year-old, but for a 14-year-old, I look forward to reading.
No,
more
but
about
if the 14-year-old has a play style that's the creative artist, that's a great thing to know. So she may be, like, I have one kid who's a creative artist, so I was having a party. I had her make all the signs.
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
Right. And did she spend more time on the signs than I thought was necessary? Absolutely. Did I stop her? No way. Because she was helping, right? She was contributing, and she was doing it in a way that she really loved. Right. So it's not about the junk box. It's about knowing if your kid's an artistic creative type, knowing if your kid's a performer type. Really, if your kid's a physical, like I was talking to somebody the other day who's got a kid who really all he cares about is playing sports. He's a really kinesthetic kid. That's his dominant play style. So that's a kid who you can get him to put the clothes in the laundry if you put a basketball hoop over the hamper. Right, because he can throw hoops all day long, but he doesn't want to put his shirt in the hamper. So that's an example of using their play style to help them learn to manage themselves. You know, the ultimate goal. Lisa, you were going to say something. What was coming up?
Yeah, I think I want to change what I'm going to focus on, which is I should have. Given today's topic, to how to lighten up, because I do know that it's been my problem my entire life. I am
too serious. And I've learned how to laugh at myself. In fact, I love laughing at myself. And in fact,
right.
I like making a joke of myself because I need to. And it's funny. And it really brings the best out in me because I do have a problem being childlike, you know? And although
yeah.
I used to play I would do anything to connect with my son, so I'd play whatever he liked to play, but I really did not like it. But I put on a good act, and I did my best to play whatever he liked. And he has a great sense of humor. He's very witty, but I don't even know how to tell a joke. So I don't know how to become more playful.
So
but
that's
I'm
the thing.
Open to learning.
That's the thing, is to look at what is playful for you and not try to be playful the way somebody else is. Like, I'm with you. I'm not very good at telling a joke. It's not my thing. I'm not a bad storyteller. I'm not that great at that either, but I'm definitely not a good joke teller, right? But I actually have a really good sense of humor, and sometimes I come up with a really witty reply or a really punny thing, and everybody sort of looks at me like, ooh, go mom, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't
yeah.
do it a lot, but when I do, there's such a strong world of humor in my house that I don't have to do it all the time, because when I do, they love it, you know. They love it. But they know I'm never going to be the one that's going to roll around on the floor with them wrestling. Never. I'm not interested. They don't even ask. They don't try. It's like, leave mom out. Don't touch mom. You know, like, they know.
Mm-hmm.
And because
yeah.
I can sit
yeah.
and smile and watch them and laugh – it's fine. I'm still part of the game, and I still don't have to get on the floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a yoga teacher, but that's not the kind of floor I like to get on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'd like to say that previous person of, like, it's almost like we have to work on ourselves as much as work on our relationship with our kids, because I know Martin is very playful and humorous, but his play style has changed so much now that he's 15, and he really
uh-huh.
likes playing on the phone and all these electronic games, as I'm sure kids of other parents on the phone are in that also. But I think for myself, I can relate to the last person who said that she's been so serious. And for years, my wife has tried to get me to lighten up, and she likes to tell people the funny story of even when we went and flew a kite, even before having a kid, I just wanted it to be a successful kite flying experience.
Right?
Not just doing it for having fun. And
right.
It's like, I'm really pathetic when it comes to that. So the areas where I know I can connect with my son is like just now playing squash with him and the things
right.
that he likes to do and just being a sports partner. But what my emphasis, I think, for the summer is to try to engage some of his friends in play dates where the two of them can just have a blast together, and I'll just be in the next room listening to them laughing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
recognizing
I would caution
that,
you not to use the word mm-hmm. play date with a 15-year-old ever.
Yeah, okay. What should
okay.
I say then? What do
ever.
I call it at this stage?
Hang out. Do you want to have some
oh,
friends over
out.
To hang out, right? Do you want,
perfect. I love
do you want to
that.
Invite someone over? And oftentimes they don't want to invite someone to your house until they get a license. You know, it's an ongoing issue. But you know, there's a point where what I'm hearing you saying, Stan, is that you have one of your play styles is that kinesthetic physical action, right? So that's a great place
yeah,
for you to connect
that.
With him.
Tennis, squash,
right.
badminton.
Right.
Swimming. He loves
you know,
swimming.
And maybe if it was at home, it'd be Twister instead of, or charades instead of, you know, a board game, right? But it's knowing that that's a great place, and if your son finds it fun too, then that's a great way for you to connect.
Yeah, but, you know, I recognize that less and less will he want to play with his parents. I mean, he's really at that stage where it's just himself or him and his friends. So I'm kind
well,
of enjoying
normal.
These last months of, you know, doing some sports with him. But I know that we're transitioning to just allowing him to be much more autonomous and
yeah.
doing much more with his friends. So
I think I have to recognize that he's growing up.
Exactly. And find the way. And so if he's got a good sense of humor, I think he was it you that were saying that?
He does.
Yeah. Then that's another way to play.
Of humor.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's really like my family, we have five of us, right? And two of my girls are already out of the house, and we have a text thread with the five of us. And we're constantly sending each other stupid videos or funny videos or punny things, or because everybody in my family, we just have a really – humor is huge for us. And so we actually use the technology to keep us connected, and we're laughing together all the time even though we never see each other. So
nice.
If you know humor is a really good access point for him and you come across something on the internet funny, text it to it. Send it to him, right?
Right.
You don't have
to
be the storyteller or the jokester if you appreciate the humor that he does and can share it with him.
Yeah, humor is something that, I mean, we do share that. It's just the fun games kinds of things that we don't anymore. But the humor, he's very amused at how gullible I am. So every time
right.
he can put something over on me, that's hilarious. And then something happened where it was actually true, and I didn't believe it because he had played so many tricks on me. And
he took a while to convince
me that it was really true.
Right. Love it.
But anyway,
it's a great access point for you, and to keep cultivating that because it works, right? So you've got two really good play styles right there that you've identified. What else is coming up for people?
This is Jane. I was just made aware when you were talking about the humor and help the student learn, because when we would study for a test, Joshua would make up the craziest names, and I didn't realize that this humor was helping the chemical reaction, like you said, in the brain.
Uh-huh.
And he would make silly names of the generals and whatever in history he had to study, and then my husband would just feed right on that, and he'd pronounce it that way. So things were pronounced funny, and it just made it, I guess, to him more palatable than just studying straight serious like I might have done.
Absolutely.
So now I realize, okay, let him keep it funny. Make it hysterical, because he'll probably
make it hysterical. If that's what
loves,
gets him engaged.
Oh, he thinks it's the silliest thing ever. Any kind of word that, you know, it's even if, you know, it could be just a word that you really don't. I don't know, he calls things fetuses, and just anything, it strikes him as hysterical. So, whatever.
That's great. So, you know, I had a substitute teacher when I was a kid growing up. He used to say, don't take life too seriously. You can't get through it alive. And his name is Mr. Mushi. And, you know, here I am, 50-something years old, and I still remember it, right? Like, that tendency, because I was one of those kids. So, you know, I had a lot of anxiety. I had a little perfectionism. I had, you know, I wanted to do it right and get it right. And that idea that, you know, chill out a little bit, enjoy the ride, relax and have fun with it. You tend to achieve the same results with pleasure as you do with, you know, forcing it, sometimes better.
Yeah.
And that's a really – it's a hard thing for those of us, particularly when we're worried about our kids catching up or achieving or succeeding. But it's a really profoundly important place to allow them to enjoy even the serious and important things, right?
Oh, you said about waking up in the morning?
Yeah.
It's better to somehow be – it's funny or whatever, to tickle them or whatever. So my son asked my husband, because he's into learning about Vietnam now, he told my husband to come in the morning and yell, good morning, Vietnam, and he would get up. So I'm sitting down in the living room laughing hysterically at my husband at 7 in the morning screaming, good morning, Vietnam. So it's humor, and he does get up.
And it works, right?
It's hysterical.
It's a great trigger. I
bet
it
is.
You know, it's really funny because I would walk into my kids in the morning and I would think it, but because I didn't think they'd seen the movie, I didn't want to say it. So I used to walk in every morning going, good morning, Joshua, you know. So I really appreciate that because it worked for me because, you know, waking your kids up can be a little not so fun.
Yeah.
But playfulness, just finding that interplay. And if playfulness doesn't come naturally to you, that is okay. It really is. Find out what does. Figure out what style of play you have and connect to that. Use that. If you're a kinesthete, dance into the room, you know. I used to use, one of my kids liked competition, so to get her up and dressed in time in the morning, I used to use the William Tell Overture. And because you know that part, like when they're cleaning the baseball field and like da 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 da, and I would turn it on. We had it on a little recording, and to see if she could get dressed and get her teeth brushed. This is when she was younger, before the music was over. And it worked. She loved it.
Good.
And it, you know, worked for a couple of years. It doesn't work forever,
nice.
But it worked for a while. You know. So what else before we check out? Who else is? What else is coming up? What are you noticing or thinking about or discovering? Well, let's start because let's take a little time to do the final four questions and sort of see what you're noticing. So what were you focusing on in this conversation? And what are you taking away from today? What's your aha or your clarity? And I learned in a neuromarketing thing yesterday that people tend to focus on the beginning of a conversation and the end. And so I noticed that most of the time when people come up with a takeaway or an aha from these calls, it's what we just talked about at the end. So just a reminder of take a minute to think about what we've been talking about throughout the hour. And ask yourself, what are you taking away from today? What's your aha? And if appropriate, what action do you want to commit to? And what do you want to do to set yourself up for success?
This is Lisa. I'd like to respond. I think the action that I want to, and I think I will, is to read, listen to the webinar, and perhaps even, you know, get the book about play and learning about play styles, because I don't know what my style is, and I would certainly like to learn more about that. I have a tendency to be pretty hard on myself, and I guess as I was listening to the presentation, I was saying to myself, I've known for years that humor is something that really works well with my son to help activate him, but it wasn't something I necessarily used a lot. First, because it just doesn't come naturally, and secondly,
yeah,
because I'm too serious, and I get worried, and we have this assignment that's due, and so I'm disappointed, you know, in myself, but I haven't, I don't know. Again, I've been working on this for 10 years, so
okay.
I guess I wish I would have learned more. So I'll listen to
yeah,
that.
I hear you. And here's where you are now, right? You can't, my husband always says, my husband's an executive coach, and he always says, if you judge yourself based on decisions you made before, based on information you have now, it's tantamount to self-abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? You can't do anything about what you've done up until now, but now you have some information and you can make different choices.
Yeah.
And that's the opportunity for you, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Who else? What's your aha?
This is Lori. I think the I'm again also interested in watching the webinar. I think my daughter probably creative style, but you mentioned collector, and I'm not sure what that is. So I'm going to do some research.
One of
on
my
the style.
Kids used to collect rubber bands, and another one collected erasers, and you know, people who like to collect things. If you've got a kid who's got a drawer full of bouncy balls, you probably have a collector.
Well, she has about everything in her room. I don't know. But it's kind of also figuring out how to incorporate humor more and lighten up. But with the play styles is to try to figure out how to then use style to motivate her to do certain things that she, you know, that she needs to do, whether it's homework or helping around the house. And I think that's
right.
That's when it's kind of takes some action on to try to find. I don't know if that's provided on the webinar or if there's books or anything that says, okay, here's your
style. There's some of it, yeah. Some of it's in the webinar. And what I would really encourage you is to remember that the goal at this stage is to help her become aware of it so she can use it to motivate herself. You're beginning to transfer the baton. It's, I don't want to get her to take out the trash anymore. I want her to figure out what she needs to do to get herself to take out the trash because that's her job.
Right. Okay.
That's the shift you're starting to make. And if she doesn't know how you, the in-between step is, I got some ideas. Do you want to hear them? Let's brainstorm together.
Right.
But remember, the job here, especially those of you with teenagers, is to transfer the ownership from you to them and helping them see what's fun and playful for them and that it's okay to use play to get them to get themselves to get something done is really valuable.
And this is Stan. I know for Martin, he's so into electronics, and he found an electronic reminder system that
mm-hmm.
offers like little rewards and things, and he was using that for a number of things, like letting the phone remind him of things was so much more pleasant than having his parents remind him, and he would get
mm-hmm.
these little cute rewards. So I really think that worked for him. But on the other subject, I think the big takeaway for me today was recognizing that play for Martin activates an area of his brain that really makes things work a lot more smoothly, and to try to engage that part of the brain much more than the nagging thing that is so negative.
Well, and it's so much more fun for us. Like if you playfully get your kid to ask your kid to do something instead of hand on the hip nagging, it's more fun for you. Like, you know, it's no fun to
Absolutely.
Be a nag.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great. Thank you. Who else? What are your other ahas or takeaways? So we got play activates the brain. We've got recognizing that humor is a good access for them. Lori, Carol, or Jane, what about you guys?
I'm struggling
Wait.
Because I keep, this is Jane, I keep thinking down the road, if we're trying to pass classes, I'm trying to think of how serious it was that I didn't want him to fail these certain classes. And then I can picture 11th grade and how I think it's very serious to get the work done. And if it gets to the point where I'm stressed about, you know, the F in the class, how am I going to be humorous about that? I won't feel that it's funny at all. So I guess I'm...
No, you want to think it's funny. And, you know, sometimes it's not funny, but if you can use the humor before that point, you can avoid sometimes getting to the F, right?
Use it before that.
Like, you do have that tendency to take things really, really heavy and serious. And he's a kid who needs you to lighten up.
He does.
He really does, because it's too stressful for him. And the stress motivates you to action. The stress shuts him down.
Exactly does.
Right? But humor doesn't shut him down.
Okay. That's my takeaway.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And somebody else was just saying something.
Oh, that was me, that's Carol.
Yeah,
I can connect with the playfulness. Buster likes to play dinosaur. He stomps around the living room, and he wants me to act scared, you know, while he eats me up. So, and I could do that for 5, 10, 15 minutes. But now I've got to figure out how to use that in training. I'm not sure how to use that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's what I would say is that as you begin to see what his play styles are, and I really would encourage you to watch the webinar, you know, like you had talked about this issue of him playing better with the baby, right? Mm-hmm. And sharing with the baby. You can figure out, when you understand his play styles, you can help, you can playfully redirect his behavior instead of seriously redirecting the behavior. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got him so far where he'll give baby another toy if he wants that toy. So at
Great.
Least he doesn't take it from him without giving him something else.
Which is, and that's reasonable, right? That's more than reasonable. And if you can make it a game to say, okay, what toy is next for the baby? What toy do you want to choose next for the baby? You get to choose the toy. Like I mean, you'll understand it better and begin to work with him better. But when you come from a playful place of playing through the redirection with him instead of getting angry every time he does something you don't like, you'll get a different response.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Awesome. All right. Anybody else have any other thoughts or ahas or commitments you want to, anything you want to commit to, any action you want to commit to? Okay. Well, I want to acknowledge you all for being here on a, you know, Thursday afternoon in the beginning of the summer and for taking the time to think about it and play with it and play with me and play with us. And I really would encourage you to go check out the links I put on the forum and go into the PSS. I couldn't link the webinar in the forum because not everybody in the forum has access to it. But if you go, I did put the name of the webinar in the forum as well as the link to the purchase the book if you're interested. And I encourage you to explore it. It's fascinating. It really is. And it'll give you a new insight into yourself as well as your kids. And on that note, I want to wish you all a great week. I think we've got a couple of weeks off. We're not going to have any calls or anything next week as we all sort of prepare for the 4th. And then there will be an office hours call on July 6th, right after the 4th of July. So enjoy the week next week. Take a break. Catch up on some webinars, and we'll talk to you all in a few weeks.
And
thank
have
you.
Fun.
Thank you.
And have fun. Thank you. Yes.
Right.
Take care,
Bye.
Everybody. Have a
thank
fun
you.
Couple of weeks. Play hard.
Bye.
Bye.